Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Revelation in chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22. And we're coming to the end of our study in the book of Revelations. And we praise the Lord for the Bible. The Bible is God's love letter to mankind. It's what God has preserved so that mankind would know who He is and understand all things. Understand things of the past, present, and future. It's the Bible that reveals to us exactly what took place in the past. You can go back as far as you want to go back. The Bible tells you exactly what took place in the beginning of all things. The Bible tells us and gives us truth about what's taking place today in the world, in society, and the purpose for all things. It's the Bible that gives us insight and revelation into what's to come. And so as a born-again believer, we have been equipped to serve the Lord with knowing everything that we need to know about past, present, and future. And we praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for the Word, the Bible. We've been going through and studying the Bible, starting the book of Genesis, went all the way through. We've been breaking down the book of Revelation verse by verse. And now we're in the very last book of the book of Revelation, the very last chapter in the book of Revelations. We've already studied much concerning the end of all things. And so all the judgments are past, the eternity is there. And now the way God closes out His Word, and that's what we're looking at tonight, how God closes out the precious Word that He has preserved for you and me and for all humanity. If you study verse 16 through 21, you'll find the five last things of the Bible. The five last things of the Bible. And so I don't know how many times we're going to be preaching on that tonight. We're just taking the very first of the last things of the Word of God. And that's found in verse 16 and verse 17. And so if you stand with me tonight, we'll be reading and then studying what this first of the last five things is. What God has placed in the Bible in closing out His love letter to mankind. The last five things that God has revealed to mankind. There's no other revelation. There never has been. Since the completion of the Scriptures, God has not given any new revelation because there's no need for any new revelation. We have the full revelation that God has for this church age. We have it all. And so there's no need for any more revelation. We just need to learn what God's revealed to us and then learn how to make the applications in our own lives. And these five last things, I think, are very critical to doing that. And so, first of all, let's look here at chapter 22 and verse 16. And this is, in chapter 1, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's what God has revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And in this, he says in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The revelation from the prophecies of the Old Testament to now. And then verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The last invitation. The last invitation. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord God, for loving us. And we thank you for this, another opportunity, just to be assembled together in your name, to have your word before us, and to be able to hear the preaching of the word of God and allow the Spirit of God bear witness with each and every one of our spirits and revealing to us individually and collectively as a church things that we have need to understand. Pray that you would bless the preaching of your word tonight. I pray that you'd anoint me as your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Throughout our lives, we might get invited to many things. Some invitations are for selfish reasons. I don't know if you get the invitations in the mail like I do. A new car celebration. We want you to come. We have a free gift for you. And you think, well, they're really going all out just to invite me to come to their celebration. They want me there. And the truth of it is, they want you to come and buy a car. That's right. This not for your benefit, it's for their benefit. We get invitations to weddings, we get invitations to birthday parties, you get invitations to that, you get invitations to that. Not all of them are selfish. Some of them, they just want to share in their blessings, amen, even though they do expect a gift, but they just want to share in the blessings of their great occasion, all right, whatever it might be. And so some invitations are selfish. The greatest invitation ever offered to man is from God. And you'll find it throughout the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, as Jesus continued to go and to preach the word of God and try to help the people to realize, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And once he fulfilled his purpose, then Jesus came on the scene and he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he invited them to salvation. I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. He gave so many invitations. If you study the Gospels, you'll find that invitation after invitation in different ways. He presented it in so many different ways that would affect and possibly that even a child could understand and receive. The invitation of salvation. What a blessing. People say, I can't understand the Bible. I just go into the script, go into the Gospels. I mean, there's no, a child can read the Gospels and understand the Gospels of Christ. It's the life of Christ. And that's exactly what we need to do to start with. Once you understand who Christ is and the life of Christ, then you'll start getting understanding into the rest of the scriptures. But the greatest invitation ever offered to man is from God. To come to Christ and take the water of life freely. Now, Jesus is the object of the invitation. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things into the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Again, that's going back to the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Christ, the Messiah coming. He came. He paid their sin debt on Calvary's cross. During the whole time he was here, he kept giving invitations. He kept revealing to mankind what they would need to do in order to have this eternal life, everlasting life. And it's available to all. He presented so much there concerning that. To come to Christ and take the water of life freely. No strings attached. Truly a free gift. Freely. Well, the first thing that we want to look at concerning this last invitation, the invitation that God has given to mankind concerning the salvation or taking of this water of life freely, we need to know what it is. Water, first of all, John chapter 4, turn back there with me. This is Jesus presented himself as the water of life. What every man, woman, and child would need in order to have salvation brought to them. In John chapter 4. A woman at the well. We won't go through all of it for sake of time. I would encourage you to read chapter 4. It follows chapter 3 when he offered Nicodemus this very same invitation. And he said, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus says, I'm a religious ruler. What do you mean I need to be born again? Can I go back into my mother's womb? And he said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritually. That which is born, the flesh is flesh. You've already been born physically, but you need to be born spiritually. And to be born spiritually, you need to be born again. And then he gave the great verse that most everybody knows, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, Nicodemus, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What a great invitation that he gave to Nicodemus. Well, in John chapter 4, then we find Jesus going and speaking to the woman at the well, and he kind of helps her to understand that if she would have asked him about the water, that he could have given her this everlasting life through the water of life. And verse 14, I want you to look there. And he says this of concerning that water. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so the invitation that he gives in the very end of the Bible, one of the last of the five things, the first of the last of the five things, is the last of an invitation. Now, we also find that after he presents the church age, then he gives us an invitation at the end of the church age. He gives an invitation. And he says, he's holding his arms out wide, and he says, come unto me. He's going to give that invitation. And so we find at the very end of the scriptures, after we understand everything that follows this church age, the tribulation period, the millennial reign, the great white throne judgment, and then as he ends it, this last invitation. In John chapter 6, just a couple pages over, you'll find that he also presents himself not only as the water of life, and I want you to see that water of life, he's offering salvation as he offered to Nicodemus, being born again. And then as he looks here in chapter 6 and verse 32, John chapter 6 and verse 32, as Jesus was offering this invitation and throughout his life on earth, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That man in the wilderness was just representation of the true bread. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. So he represents salvation as water that you have to sustain life, and the water of living, the living water that gives everlasting life. He represents himself as being the bread that also gives everlasting life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Know what it is. It's offered to you through Jesus Christ, and it's a free gift. It brings to us forgiveness and cleansing of sin. Wow. Isaiah, I love what Isaiah writes there in the Old Testament in prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah and this, what he's going to offer. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he says this. He says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A cleansing. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so knowing what it is, first of all, it represents salvation. It's free to whoever will call upon the name of the Lord. It's a free gift of everlasting life. It cleanses us. It forgives us. It also brings to us a sealing of our eternal soul. When you get saved, then you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians in chapter 1. We need to understand what this last invitation, it's the invitation given by God to humanity. It's Christ, what he offers, forgiveness and cleansing. Over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it's a sealing of our soul. A sealing means eternal security. If you truly get saved, then you have been sealed by God. Placed in the hand of the Father that nobody can pluck you out of. Yeah. Well, Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. This is how it happens. You hear the gospel preached, you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that's just not Baptist doctrine, eternal security. That's Bible doctrine. That's exactly what Jesus has presented to the church and to humanity. That what he's going to offer us and is a free gift is everlasting eternal life. And he says in verse 14 there, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It's what we have to hold on to in this life, knowing that we have everlasting life to look forward to. Amen? You will never die, spirits. If you get saved, you will never die. Your body's going to die, but that just releases your spirit to go on into glory, to be with the Lord forevermore. What a blessing that is. It's a sealing of your soul. What is it? It's a free gift. It's an invitation to receive a free gift of God. And this free gift is everlasting life. It's salvation. It's a sealing of our souls. It's an adoption into the family of God. An adoption into the family of God. Over in Galatians in chapter 4. In verse 4 it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." What a blessing. It's a free gift that God has offered, and He continues to offer throughout this church age. He offers it and offers it and offers it. After in the book of Revelation, He reveals the seven churches, and He gives us a message for each church. And then at the end of the church age, He offers it again. So there I am with my arms wide open, offering salvation to whosoever will come. And then at the very end of the full revelation of God, the very end of the book of Revelations, in the final chapter, in the final few verses, offers it one last time. One last time. It's an adoption into the family of God. You know, it's a free makeover. It's a free makeover because it changes an individual from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things are becoming new." You want to change your life? You made a mess of it yourself? Turn it over to Christ. Receive that free gift that He has for you. He's offering it through salvation, all of these things, and it is a change. A new start, a new beginning. Wow. Well, know what it is. I think that everyone needs to know what God has offered you and what you have received in this final invitation. Who gives the invitation? Go back there with me in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Who gives this invitation? Ultimately, it comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ, but He has commissioned others to represent Him. First of all, God, the Holy Spirit. We serve a triune God. We know, and I acknowledge this just about every day of my life when I pray. I want to acknowledge, I want to honor God. I want to look to Him. And I pray to God through the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we do it. Because the Spirit of God dwells within me. And He helps me to bring things to my mind, to know what to pray for and how to pray for things. He brings things to my spirit, His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit, so that I might be able to know these things. As I'm yielding to Him, being filled with the Spirit is not speaking in an unknown language or some kind of a tongues movement. Being filled with the Spirit is yielding to the Spirit of God that's already there that you were sealed with. And as you've been sealed with the Spirit of God, you yield to the Spirit of God, and He directs us on how to live a life that's Christ-honoring. And it's in Christ, and it's through Christ. I pray to the Father, through the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we find here the first one that He presents to us is going to have a part in this invitation is, "And the Spirit say, come." John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus presented that to us. He was here inviting everyone. Helping everyone to understand what they need to do to be saved. Helping everyone to understand what God has revealed to mankind. What they need. They need repentance. They need to accept Christ as their Savior. Be born again. But before He leaves and goes to the cross, He says this in John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Can't lose him. Amen. You can't lose. He's sealed inside of you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so that person that's going to come, the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and seal you, he's the one that convicts you. He's the one that reveals to you. If you're lost, that's the only thing the Spirit of God's going to speak to you about is your salvation. The idea that you're lost and need to get saved. He's commissioned the Spirit of God. He's in this world today. I believe at the rapture, he's going to be taken out with the church. I don't know how that's going to feel. Praise the Lord, I'm not going to have to experience that because I'm going with him. And as long as I'm here, he's here. As long as the church is here in this church age, the Spirit is here. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells within every believer. And he's saying to the lost, come. It's an invitation from God. I believe when I preach the Word of God, the Spirit of God's empowering the preaching of the Word of God and speaking to those that hear the Word of God. And he's speaking to you as you have need to be spoken to. If you're lost, he's saying you need to listen to that preaching because you need to do what the preacher says to do. You need to get saved. If you are saved, he's inside of you saying you need to listen to the message I have for you and apply it to your life because you need to dwell in the shadows of the Almighty. Amen. Well, the Spirit says, come. And the bride say, come. Now, who's the bride? The bride is the church. He just said in verse 16, he says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. During this church age, God is working through his church. And that's why it's so very important that we support his church. Very important that the church maintain the right doctrine, maintain the right influence in society. When you go away from the Bible, you're losing the influence. It's so critically important to this world. When you're identifying more with the world, you're losing what's important, the salt, the savor. If you lost the savor, the saltiness, what good are we? If we become just like the world... The bride is a church. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave the commission, the great commission to the church. That's to go into all the world. Preach the gospel. It's a command. The church represents the believers who make up the church. We're commanded to do what? Invite people to Christ. I trust that we look at that as a privilege. When you look at it the way you ought to look at it, God has commissioned me to represent him and invite people to salvation, which is inviting people to become a member of the family of God, inviting people to have everlasting life. Inviting people to have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. If the President of the United States came to you and said, buddy, I'm going to commission you to go to anyone in Indianapolis, and you have my authority to invite them to come to the White House. Wow. I have the authority of the President of the United States, and I can invite whoever I want to invite. And whoever I invite has got an invitation from the President to come to the White House. How exciting. But when you stop and you relate that to an almighty God who's the creator of all things and says to you, I have commissioned you and you are going to represent me and you can invite anyone you want to invite. I'll come into them and give them everlasting life if they just call upon me. and they'll come to heaven one day.
Yes.
And I get a part in that.
Amen.
I've been commissioned to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and take the gospel, the plan of salvation, to a lost and dying world and say, this is what God says, and He invites you to get saved.
Yes.
And yet, we won't do that. I wonder, would the same people that won't invite people to heaven, would they invite people to the White House if they were commissioned by the president? Well, come on, that's something they can see, that's something they can know, and that it's the same thought. It's the same truth. The truth of it is, though, you'll never be commissioned by the president by people. But you don't have to even care about that when you've been commissioned by the Creator of all things. And that's a full-time job. Because you can invite people in your neighborhood. You can invite people from your school. You can invite people from your work. You can invite people from the restaurant. You can invite people from any place around the world. Wow. The bride. This last invitation said the Spirit is inviting people. The Spirit is convicting. The church needs to be inviting people. And then he says this, let him that heareth say, come. Now, I like that. Anyone who knows, even a lost person, can present salvation. Not everybody that knows receives Christ. But anybody that knows of salvation could actually lead somebody to Christ. Because they don't save them. Had somebody come to me and they were just in tears. They had just found out that a preacher that they used to have, a preacher that they trusted in, a preacher that actually was the one that reached them and led them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They'd heard that he had quit the ministry and run off with a woman or whatever the situation was. But they come to me and say, preacher, he's the one that led me to Christ. Am I really saved? Like their salvation was dependent upon a person. That was just an instrument that God worked through to help you to know the truth. An individual can't save you. It's the Word of God. It is the power of God that saves us. And I love that because it says even somebody that just knows can actually lead somebody to Christ without them ever receiving it themselves. I believe that's the case. I believe that many times there's people out there winning people to Christ that never have received it themselves. I don't understand that, but I know it's possible. Well, lastly, this evening, this invitation, we need to know what it is. Need to know who gives, who's instructed, who's commissioned to give the invitation, and who can receive it. Who can receive it? Let him that is athirst. After he says, this is the invitation, and these are the ones that's going to be able to say, come, invitation. And let him that is athirst. The first thing that he says is qualifications is somebody that's thirsty. Now representing water. Water represents salvation, so who wants it? Understanding that it's forgiveness and cleansing of your sin. Understanding it's a life in the family of God. Understanding what it all, who can receive it. Has to be someone who wants it. No one that didn't want it, didn't desire it, has ever been saved. Well, I went through the words. I went through the plan. The words don't save you. Can I tell you, the devil himself knows the plan. The devil himself believes. He knows that God is God. He knows that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all humanity. He understands that, but he's never received him. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Some people get saved because, well, I know mom wanted me to get saved. Some people get saved because my friend got saved. I'm just doing what they did. I've had so many come to me and say, all I remember is going, following my friend to the altar, and I did what they did. Romans chapter 10. Now, he's made it simple that even a child can truly get saved. But in verse 10 of the Romans road, in chapter 10, it says this. In verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the plan of salvation. But look, as he breaks it down, he says this. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Not with the head. The heart, I desire it. The seat of the emotions, I want it. I'm not doing it just because mom wants me to do it, dad wants me to do it, because a bus worker wants me to do it, a Sunday school teacher wants me to do it. I'm not doing it just to please somebody. Many people get saved. You go on the mission field, and most of the places that I've been on the mission field, the people want to hear what you have to say. And just simply because you're from America, they'll do whatever they think you want them to do. If you're not careful, they're just following you. They're just saying what you want them to say. It's not something that is really understood sometimes. And so you have to make sure they understand what I'm trying to help you with. I can't save you. It's not just because I'm from America. I'm just a man. I can't do that. But God loves you as much as he loves any American. God loves you, and he has died for you. And what you need to do is come to that place in your life that you want what God has to offer you. You understand that God has given you an invitation, and you have to desire that invitation. Receive what God has for you. Yeah. From the heart. Someone who wants it. I hate to tell you this, parents. If your child doesn't desire it, they'll never get saved. A lot of times our lifestyle and what we're teaching them and helping them understand, they'll see what you have and they'll desire what you have. But if they don't have a heart's desire for salvation, they'll never be saved. Let him that's athirst. Speaking of water, I want water. Speaking of salvation, I want salvation. I understand what it is. I know it's going to quench my thirst. I know it'll give me what I've been looking for throughout my life. Give me meaning, purpose. Help me to understand. I want salvation. And then lastly, who can be saved? Who can receive this invitation? Someone who wants it. Let him that is athirst. And then I love what it says here. If you're athirst, no matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter how terrible life you've lived up to this point, no matter what color of your skin, no matter what nationality you come from, and whosoever will. Amen. Amen. This invitation, it comes down to you have to desire it. No one else can desire it for you. It's got to come from your heart. But then he says, if you have it, no matter what your background, no matter who you are, whosoever will, Amen. Let him. Take the water of life. Don't have to pay for it. You can't pay for it. Don't have to work for it. You can't work for it. Freely. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God's holy word, everything that God has preserved for humanity, everything about the past, present, and future, when he's closing out his word to mankind, that he will preserve the first of the last five things, his final invitation. I trust we understand it. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. He wants you to understand it. Because He wants you to be saved. He wants you to get saved. He wants you to be saved and know it. Tonight. Sunday night. Usually Sunday night I don't focus on evangelism as much. Salvation messages. But this is where we're at. Nothing else. You need to be strengthened in what you know to be biblical salvation. And if there's doubt, you need to get rid of those doubts. You need to face it. Based on the Word of God. Leave here knowing I've received the invitation and I'm saved. Eternally secure. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, once again for meeting with us. Thank You for the precious Word of God. And I trust that even tonight as we study this first of the last final statements of the Word of God, I just pray, God, that this one invitation, this first that You've given to us, that we would have a full understanding of this. As we leave here tonight, we will have that confidence in knowing that I have the salvation that You so freely offer. Bless the invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.